Welcome everyone to today's episode of The Lindsay Elmore Show. We've talked a lot on the show about how financial health is part of the overall picture of health and wellness, but we've never talked much about how spirituality and meditation and mindfulness can play into our ability to effectively manage our money and grow it into prosperity and abundance. My guest today is Thomas DeShooter. He's a business success coach and also a spiritual teacher and mindfulness expert. He's here today to meet us at the crossroads between money, mindfulness, and living a heart-centric life. Let's get to the show. Welcome to The Lindsay Elmore Show, a podcast for people who deserve to be healthy, with honest, open, and enlightening conversations with doctors, thought leaders, creatives, and spiritual gurus. You'll walk away with simple and tangible tips and tricks that allow you to live your healthiest life so you can pursue your dreams, overcome obstacles, and leave your mark. Thomas DeShooter is a business success coach, a spiritual teacher, and a mindfulness expert. He is currently pursuing a master's in divinity because he realized the impact that his own spiritual awakening had on all of his relationships, his business, and his level of prosperity. He is a certified advanced profit first professional and a certified cash flow specialist with over two decades in financial and cash flow management. He lives on a big island with his wife, twin daughters, and recently added a couple of goats into the mix. Thomas DeShooter, welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Lindsay. It's been a while.
I know it has been a while. You and I first met when I was on your podcast, where we talked a lot about mindset and about how we can craft an intentional life. And I really want to start with, how did you go from a profit first professional, certified cash flow specialist, success coach, to being a spiritual teacher, mindfulness expert? You're currently pursuing a master's in divinity. How did this all manifest as one story of your life?
I was hoping you would be able to answer that for me today. Seriously, I was a rock musician. So prior to any of this stuff, any of my financial world, I played drums, I made records, I toured, lived my dream. So I have always kind of been in the realm of creative juice, spiritual awareness, I guess, in some capacity, because writing your own music, playing your own songs, you know, marching to your own drummer, no pun intended or pun intended, requires a certain amount of willingness to step out of your comfort zone at a lot of levels. And I was, you know, I have to blame my wife, I think, mostly, is that I ended up reading a book that moved me into the financial world coming out of music. And I spent two decades working in personal finance and as a stockbroker. And then I read A Course in Miracles. And it was like all of the reasons that I didn't want to have anything to do with organized religion cleared from me. And I saw that there were teachings and ways of being here that went beyond the dogma of organized religion and all of the structure that says I was a bad person because I was born a sinner, etc. And when that happened, and this was about 4.5 years ago, when that happened, the veils just went off. And I suddenly saw that there was work there for me, like there was something there for me. And then one night I'm laying in the bathtub and I was listening to Marianne Williamson. And I had this epiphany and I came out of the bathroom crying. And my wife says, "What is wrong?" And I said, I finally say why I'm here. She's like, "What's that?" I said, "I'm here to heal the gap between money and people's self-awareness. And I have the tools. I understand money. I've been in that world for 2 decades, and now I'm opening up to the spiritual realm. And I believe there's a way to merge these two pieces together and work with people so that they can empower themselves around finance and take away all of the stuff that's there, that because people are lost in this world of not opening statements, not wanting to deal with it. They don't understand it. And I just saw that that was my thing to do. So for me, it was a really simple transition.
Of just having that moment of awakening. You had the epiphany. That was it.
I was like, okay, what does that look like? And then began the journey of, well, I don't want to say, hey, I watched The Secret and now I'm an expert. I need to get some teachings. I need to get some understanding. A Course in Miracles led me to the Unity Church down the street from my house, or the Unity Spiritual Center. And I went there, and the way they spoke was unlike anything else I had heard in terms of a spiritual center. One of their mission statements was a growing, unfolding center of light and love, mighty to attract its good and radiate good to others. And I heard that and I went, I'm home. This is my kind of place. And I literally have not missed a Sunday since then. And 6 months later, I was enrolled in spiritual classes to enter into the ministerial program with Unity.
That is just, you know, it is an astonishing story, because I don't think that many people make the connection between financial health and spiritual health. So where do you think the disconnect lies? Why do we not tie these two things together as fundamentally nurturing and supportive and necessary for one to have the other?
Well, I truly believe it's because our financial system is based on a lie.
Okay, tell us what it is.
The entire Federal Reserve, the entire banks of international settlement are all a private cartel that is not owned by governments. It's a private organization of individuals and companies that print money, and all money that's generated is in the form of debt. And so therefore, we don't know this. They don't teach us this. There's no classes in school around money. There's nothing that tells us how the money system works. And I believe inherently, we know there's something not right. And it actually prevents us from diving into it and understanding it, because it's a shell game. They're moving, money from here over to here. People get bailed out. Some people don't get bailed out. It's all intuitively, as the intuitive beings that we are, the spiritual beings that we are, it doesn't make sense. And we can't put our finger on it unless you dive in and start to unpack it. You don't know what's going on, and it just has this vibe to it that's not quite right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It does have this vibe to it. So what's the truth? What is the truth about money?
I'm going to say it, Bitcoin.
Oh my gosh. So we're going that direction. Okay. So we're really going into the realm of the ethereal here. Okay. All right.
No. So the principle, and it's the principle of Bitcoin, that it's completely decentralized, that it can't be manipulated, that it can't be printed into infinitum, that it has a limited supply, and that what you have must be accounted for. That's what I mean. Our current financial system is not built on that. It's built on sand. It's just like, and the sand is going away from under it, and they're trying to stuff it back in as fast as they can by printing more and more and more of it. But it's a mug's game. It's running out. And, we're just spinning around in a circle on it. That's it.
Well, and isn't that just exactly what we need to be doing in our own life? We need to recognize that we have a finite amount of money, and we need to understand where all of it is. Where is all of it? And I so agree with you. We're all stuck in a pattern, or many of us are stuck in a pattern where we just don't want to deal with it. Like, it's a pain. And I also think part of the ruse of the modern economy is that they try to make economics so complicated so that everybody's like, oh, wow, you're an economist, eh? Oh, you're a stockbroker, eh? And it's like, it's just a set of skills that anybody can learn. Now, I want to wrangle us back in, because what I really want to talk to you today is you are an extraordinary teacher on Insight Timer, my favorite app for meditation and for different types of music and guided meditations and courses. And throughout your journey of being the person who is supposed to tie money with spirituality, you have expressed that living a heart-centered life is critically important. What does that mean to you?
Oh, good question. So I'll come at this from a male, because I just did a talk on Mother's Day about honoring the divine feminine within, and how that, I believe, is the journey that humanity needs most right now, is to honor that divine feminine, which is that internal belief system that we have. As a guy, I can live up here in my forehead, which is where our thinking, you know, our thinking, conniving, structural mind is, of trying to figure it all out, and you know, the monkey brain, all of that stuff's going on. And it's not until I drop out of there and move down into my heart space and breathe, where I can let go of all of that judgment, all of that trying to figure it out, and speak for what is truly mine to own, what is truly mine to do, to understand what is it that really speaks to me in this moment, or really moves me in this moment, and make a decision based on that divinity within, versus that trying to figure it out and weigh and measure all the pluses and minuses.
Mm-hmm. Most of our listeners are women, and I think for women to fall into that heart space becomes very, very vulnerable. And I think for men, it's been so just trained out of them. If what you just said sounds terrifying to our listeners, to fall out of the mind and breathe into the heart space and let go of the judgment, where do they begin? How do you begin to tap into this heart space?
I could only come from my experience of it, that what has worked for me was, first of all, the willingness to admit that I don't know everything. First of all, the willingness to see what has worked for other people that are living a kind of lifestyle that I would like to live. And the willingness to begin to meditate and to just pause. And it all started, like, I started meditating, I did 2 minutes. Like, for me, that was like, that was like a lifetime, right? Mm-hmm. You want me to sit here for 2 minutes and do what? Nothing?
Yeah. Just breathe. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that began to the point now where I'll pull it up, because it's, you know, I love tracking things. So I am somebody that likes to track. I have now achieved 1,114 consecutive days of meditating.
Wow.
And now my meditations are, you know, easily 20, 25 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. You know, like, to do that, I can't start my day without closing off the mind and learning to just stop and just remind myself that, you know, when I go off on those tangents, just to bring myself back to, oh yeah, I just went off on a thought tangent. It's okay. I can just breathe and drop down into that space down here, into that heart. Feel my breath coming in, feel my belly expand as I breathe in through my nose. Just get centered to me and who I am. And from there, all great decisions can be made. And that's really, it just takes the willingness to do it and to begin a practice.
It does just take the willingness to begin, and it takes the willingness to begin wherever you are. And, you know, I think for some of our listeners, even 2 minutes is like, I don't even have 2 minutes. And I'm sure for many of our listeners, they're like, you gonna meditate for 2 hours? Honey, you don't have my life. But we have the choice of what we do with our day, day in and day out. And why do you think that from this place of meditative energy, because you said from there, all good decisions can be made. What do you think the connection is between sitting down and breathing into the center of your chest? How does that transform your mind?
Well, our heart is our most energetic space in our body. Our most energetic organism in our body is our heart. It fills out, it puts energy out to others. It brings energy into it. It is, you know, if you go to the Heart Math Institute, the work they've done around the heart space is phenomenal. And so it is our essence. What I think happens when we drop in, when we decide to go within, and I have a saying that everything you want for yourself and for your life is within you, we stop looking for outside assurances. We stop looking for, is my life out there? It's not. There's nothing out there for you except a reflection of who you are being in every moment. That's it. People are there to reflect back to you exactly who you're being. And so when you can drop in and choose who you're going to be, now you can see the world around you from that place, as opposed to a reactive place where you're not running, you know, the mechanism. Kind of look at it like the Wizard of Oz. You know, once you pull back the curtain and go have a look and see, oh, this is actually where the show is run from, it's a whole different world for you. It changes how you will perceive things. It changes how people will respond to you. It changes the way you see the world.
It's astonishingly beautiful that, like you said, we're constantly looking for outside assurance, but the outside world is doing nothing other than reflecting back what you are already being. And, you know, that could sting a little bit if somebody is walking through the world and everything annoys them and every person is frustrating and the traffic gets under their skin. That's not a reflection of the actual circumstance. That's merely our mental reaction to our set of circumstances. And we all know that misery begets misery. So if I'm frustrated, someone else is going to bring themselves to that frustration as well, unless, as you said, you actually craft the intentional life that you want to have. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. 88% of Americans suffer from metabolic disease, and most don't even know it. I have a new Metabolic Makeover Summit that is here to help you learn the signs and symptoms of metabolic disease, the warning signs that you may be walking down a pathway towards diabetes or cardiovascular disease, and how we can set SMART goals to reverse our trajectory. Find out more about the Metabolic Makeover Summit by heading to lindseyelmore.com/metabolic-makeover-ebook. Here, you can download a free ebook that will give you simple, tangible steps that you can use to combine Western medicine with modern and more natural approaches to take control of your metabolic health. Head to lindseyelmore.com/metabolic-makeover-ebook and download the free ebook today. And now, let's get back to the show. Now, you mentioned a moment ago that part of this practice that's so important is letting go of judgments. Why are internal judgments so toxic for us?
Well, I don't have any science data around it. I'll just give you my feeling on it, how it works for me. When I'm in judgment mode, I'm actually not open to what's really going on. I'm actually stuck in a pattern that I have or a belief system that I've developed of how the world is versus how it truly is in front of me in this moment. And so the more that you become present, the more that you allow yourself to just be in the space that you're in and eliminate from yourself pre-decided notions and pre-decided ways of being, you can actually be in the moment with much more ease because you haven't set up this thing for something it may not actually be except what you've judged it already to be or what you walked in. You know, hey, I've got to go to this wedding. Oh, I can't stand some of my family. They're going to be there. They're going to drive me crazy. Like, you've already set in motion everything that this darn thing is going to be, and you're not even there yet. Imagine if you were to just go, hey, I got this wedding to go to. I'm just going to go and be and allow things to unfold. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to go great. It doesn't mean that there might not be opportunities for people to frustrate you and all of that stuff. However, you've at least given the opportunity for them to not frustrate you. But if you've already set it up that you've judged the situation, you've judged the moment before you're even there, how is it possibly going to be different?
Right, because you've already spoken it into existence. You've already said that this is the way that it is. And you also focus a lot on forgiveness. And we've talked a lot on the podcast about how critical it is. We talked about it with David Sandstrom. And if I feel like if we're not able to forgive ourselves and forgive others, we get stuck in all of the layers of trauma of our past. So how do you actively pursue forgiveness?
Well, it's a choice, first of all. There's a book I read called Embers by Canadian Indigenous author Richard Wagamese, maybe one of the most beautifully poetic books I've ever read. And he talks about judgment and forgiveness. And so he put it like this. If he's in a lineup at a grocery store or in a red light and he's frustrated, first thing is you have to notice, right? You have to at least be willing to be aware of how you're responding in the moment. So you notice that you're frustrated, you're anxious, like this line is too slow and you got all this stuff going. I got to get places. I got all this to do. You know what that's like, right? You're just in this, your crazy mind right now. He would say to himself, I'm not the me that is standing in this line right now, freaking out and all panicked. I'm the me that notices that I'm doing this and I can be blobbity blobbity blah different about it. It's all about noticing first. You have to first notice what you're doing. So it really starts, you know, forgiveness, judgment, all of these things start with awareness of being able to be aware of how you're reacting, how you're responding, and what is the signaling you're putting out. You know, when you're walking, you know, imagine you're at the office and some colleague walks out of their office and they're in you know right away to just step aside and kind of avoid them, right? Now, they might walk by thinking, why is that person avoiding me? That person is just a mirror of exactly what they've put out.
You know, I love that because thinking that it all starts with awareness and that we are what we put out there, it changes people's responses to us, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can only respond. They can only respond with what we're giving out. You know, if I walk into when I do my Insight Timer talks on living a heart-centered life, I will often, you know, invite people to walk into a restaurant or walk into a room, which has been really hard to do lately, of course, walking into a restaurant till recent, but walk in with your chest out and your heart open. Like with that kind of mindset, like I am open for all of the goodness that I can find in this space. what kind of goodness is in this space? Mm-hmm. Open for it. Be willing to accept it. Welcome it in. People will react to you way different by walking in with that kind of energy.
It's so beautiful because what you mentioned about the author from Embers is I am not the me that is frustrated. I am the me that notices that I am frustrated in this moment. You know, we talk a lot on this show about how your current situation is not who you are. You don't, you know, a lot of our listeners are struggling with health issues. Maybe they're carrying around a few extra pounds. Maybe they've got some toxic relationships in their life. Maybe they have something acute going on, but your current situation is not who you are. Who you are is how you respond to the current situation at hand. So let's loop all of this back together from whence we came. How do you apply the principles of awareness, a heart-centered life, non-judgment, and forgiveness to the concepts of money?
So money is energy, right? First of all, money is energy. And it's not that money is in front of those things. Those things are there first, right? That way of being is there first. Money responds to how we're being. Because if you have judgment, if you have all of this stuff around money, you say things like, ah, you know what? I don't make enough money. I don't have any money in the bank. I'm broke. You know, those people over there that are rich, I hate those people. Like if your energy around money is all in a place of toxicity, do you really think that money is going to be attracted to you? Because it's energy. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, why would it want to hang out with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, you're no fun.
Right. And it's like, what do you, you know, it's like you said, it's this starving artist mode of I don't deserve it. And if you're so right, if you're putting it out there that, you know, money just runs through my fingers or money just, I can't keep track of it or it's too complicated or whatever, then it's going to continue to be complicated and it's going to continue to perpetuate itself.
Yeah. And why is that?
You tell me.
Because you say so.
Right. Yes.
That's what you say. Mm-hmm. Money doesn't say that. You say that. So when you say that, guess what happens?
What?
It's exactly what you say.
Yeah. So you really truly believe in the power of the words that we speak and the words that we focus our mindset on.
Thoughts are things. Words mean everything. How we speak. The universe is this open system that is just showing up, and it brings to us, it opens up for us exactly where we are at. You know, when you say, and I'll use this analogy because I was a kid. If you wanted a yellow Volkswagen Bug and you were going to buy one, guess what you started to see everywhere around you? Mm-hmm. Now, do you think a whole bunch of people just moved into the area that just because you thought of it? No, it's that you've tuned in your frequency to be in that awareness. Well, guess what? Now your mind is a search and destroy mechanism, right? Must go get this. Your mind is now attuned and looking for it and going and noticing it, going, hey, oh, there's one. Hey, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one, etc.
It's that reticular activating system in our brain that kicks into effect. And it is, you know, a very tiny part of our brain. And yet it does so much to help us craft that conscious awareness of what do you pay attention to? What do you pay attention to in the world that allows you to say, like, I see that, I identify that? Because your brain is filtering all day, every day, and it's filtering through that reticular activating system. So
where attention goes, energy flows, right? That's just the way it is. And you know, being a student of the ministerial path and studying now the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say money is the root of all evil. Those words are not in the Bible. The right. love of money is the root of evil. Hmm. This does not mean that I can't have an abundance of it. I don't love money, but I like it and mm-hmm. I want it because I can do really good things with money. Hmm. I can make mm-hmm. really good things happen when I have money. So I want to attract it into my life. I want to have it in my life so that I can do that. I believe it needs to flow. I don't hoard it. I don't want to like, oh, it's mine. Right? I want it to come in. And what can we do? How can we spend this? How can we have family? You know, I have two daughters. How can we have a great family experience? Where can this money go? I'm grateful for my home. I'm grateful for paying taxes. I pay taxes in a country where I have a medical system that if anything happens to me, I can go into a hospital or a doctor and get served. Is it a drag that it's high? Yeah, but you know what? I'm grateful for the opportunity because there's people that do not have that system in place. There's people that do not get that privilege. So I believe in living in a world of absolute gratitude for everything we have and everything we don't have.
Absolutely. Living in gratitude every single day is so critically important. Let's bring it down to earth now. You know, we're talking money, we're talking all these big concepts about, you know, the thoughts are things and where we put energy. Bring this down into everyday life. How do you make this an everyday incorporation into a simple, easy, replicatable routine?
Okay. Well, first of all, you start small. You don't start with, it's New Year's and I'm going to now go to the gym. I haven't gone in 15 years and now I'm going to go 3 times a week for 4.5 hours and become, you know, the master bodybuilder of all time, which in 2 weeks will be over because you've totally messed up your system. You've gone way beyond what you can actually handle. So here's the thing I'll share. I had one day I decided I want to be able to do 40 push-ups when I'm 85.
All right.
And no reason, just that I heard 40 push-ups was doing 40 push-ups is a good thing to do. That's a magic number in push-up land is 40. And I thought if I could do those when I'm 85, that would be great. And then I thought, okay, well, I work backwards. How could I do this? And then I thought, well, I'll just start today and I'll do them every day. And then I'll be 85 still doing 40 push-ups. That's the easiest thing I could think of. So I began to do that. By the way, today was day 1,705 consecutive of 40 push-ups.
Wow. You had something major transformative happen about 1,100 days ago. You got 1,100 days of meditation, 1,100 days of push-ups, all the things. I mean, that's almost 3 years. That's a long time.
The push-ups are 1,700 days, so it's...
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even more. Oh, wow. Okay.
That was it. I decided I wanted to be able to do them when I was 85. Here's what happened. All I did was start with 40 push-ups. Then about 6 weeks later, I was looking in the mirror and I was like, oh, you know, my drummer arms were coming back. I was starting to look a little, you know, my chest was starting to get shaped again. And then my wife sees me and she goes, hey, what the heck's going on over there? And for me as a guy, I was like, ding, 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 ding. But here's what happened is my little brain went, well, if 40 push-ups could do that, what could changing my diet look like? What could walking every day with the dog look like? Like, what would happen to me if I just took little steps on other things? Because all that was like one of those little habits, which I believe came out of, yes,
the power of habit. Yep, Charles Duhigg, love it.
He talks about a keystone habit. That was a keystone habit. Doing 40 push-ups triggered a bunch of other awareness for me that then had me decide if this can do this, then I can add this, and then I can add this, and then I can add this. And, you know, part of my daily is gaining knowledge. So having some time either reading or listening to a podcast, doing some form of exercise, push-ups, daily gratitude, and prayer and meditation. Those are my daily activities that I want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So that's how we bring it down to earth for ourselves. The next thing is you need to surround yourself with people that see you for who you say you are. Not people who judge you, not people who don't see you that way, not people who are going to challenge you when you say you're going to take on this new job or you want to step into this new career or you want to invent this crazy idea or you want to go play piano now. You need to be surrounded by people that see you for who you say you are and love and support you. Mm. I started in a group of men 5 years ago called Being Man. There's six of us. We do a daily I am statement together every day on WhatsApp. Have been doing that for 5 years. And we meet every week for a minimum of a 1 hour mastermind session where we talk about our vulnerability, what it's like to be a father, you know, what's going on in the world, any business challenges that we might be having. We're there to support each other. And when I say I'm going into ministerial school, they go, "That's awesome, Thomas. I'm so happy for you." Not one of them judged me. Not one of them said, "Are you crazy? Like, why are you doing that?" It was nothing but love and support. So When you say something happened 1700 days ago, I started hanging out with a group of guys that are like-minded, and they push me to live my life better than I ever thought I could.
Mm, it's so powerful. The people, you know, some people say, you know, you are the combination of the five people you hang out with the most. And, you know, to maybe it's five, maybe it's 10, maybe it's whatever. But you are who you surround yourself with. And if you surround yourself with love and support versus if you surround yourself with people who cut you down or people who have toxicities, it's just you are who you surround yourself with. Specific advice for being more mindful about money for our listeners. How can we craft this same mindfulness around money?
That's a big question because I go to places of like, is there a particular challenge they're having? Is there the best thing to do is to start opening yourself up to understanding money. To give up the idea that I don't understand it, that it's complicated, you know, open up a financial page and just read an article. Begin to open up your mind to the possibility that you actually could be in control of your finances and not leave it to others or just ignore it entirely, right? It's like anything. The more that you put yourself in the space of something, the easier it becomes to begin to take it apart and understand it, right? And so it's also at the same time, it's also really easy to say, "Oh, that's too complicated," or "I was bad in math," or, you know, "I didn't do well in school." So, you know, here's what I'll say to all of your listeners, and I thank them so much for joining us today. I didn't graduate high school. I have no college degree. I've never gone to a university except now until I decided to do a master's in divinity. And in order to get admitted into there, I had to go through a pretty arduous process of proving that I was worthy of being accepted into the program. But what I can do is I can read and I can figure things out. So it had nothing to do with my education. I was a rock musician. I was a drummer in a rock band. What do I know about money? Except that I got interested and I made the decision, I can learn this. That's it.
And isn't that just a metaphor for everything in life? You get interested and say, I can learn this. I can do this. Absolutely. Oh, I love it. Thomas DeShooter, thank you so much for coming in and being a guest today. Listeners, Thomas has been kind enough to offer you a discount on his new 10-day Awakening to Your Infinite Abundance course. This course will help you move beyond your embedded beliefs about yourself and about money, and make you open to receive the infinite supply that is available. If you would like to take advantage, head to www.lindseyelmore.com/awakeningabundance and use the code Elmore at checkout to save when you join the 10-day Awakening Your Infinite Abundance course. That's lindseyelmore.com/awakeningabundance. Thomas DeShutter, thank you so much for being a guest today on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great pleasure, and I love hanging out with you and talking about this big stuff and then trying to bring it down to earth.
Absolutely. Until we meet again, sir. Way too many people out there go to the doctor looking for solutions to real problems that they have in their lives and are met with a brick wall where the only solutions offered are either medications or surgery or, let's just check it again in 6 months. The system is broken, friends. And far too many people are left without options of knowing how can I heal myself and correct the root causes of what is genuinely making me sick. That's why I am so happy to announce that I have a new subscription platform. It's called Wellness Made Simple, and it is a one-stop shop for everything you need to know about how to course correct if you're already experiencing symptoms, or how to prevent symptoms from happening in the first place. This is not a place to come and find out about the nitty-gritty and the perfect combination of supplements or the exact right way to eat to be well. This is a place where you can get together with people who understand that sleep, stress, food, exercise, and relationships really matter to our overall health. From now until August 30th, you can lock in introductory pricing for life. That's only $29 per month. Head to wellnessmadesimple.us. That's wellnessmadesimple.us to sign up today and lock in introductory pricing for life. The Lindsey Elmore Show is written and produced by me, Lindsey Elmore. Show segments are produced by Sue Procco and Kelsey Lorman. Production design, sound design, and editing is by Jive Media. If you have a question about this or any other episode of the podcast, send us an email to hello@lindseyelmoreshow.com. And hey, since you're still here, take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And while you're at it, go over and follow us on Instagram @LindseyElmoreShow. This helps us bring the pod to more people.